Further discussion. Senator from Barton was first on his feet.
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire of the senator from the 15th.
Senator from the 15th, you yield to an inquiry.
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Just for your courtesy. I kind of like my colleague just behind me agree that this discussion, I think, is very healthy for us in government and also for the people that we represent, because the credibility of certainly the federal government, and I think the state government probably close behind it, continues to drop. And I think some of it is because we're not rigorous enough in some of these duties. And frankly, I had not read that statute that said that required. I knew the question was offered at the hearing because I was in that hearing preparing to present another appointee. But I didn't know it was in there. And why do you think, Senator, that the statute requires this to be a lay member?
Well, I think the idea, if I'm trying to put myself in the position of the people who created it in the first place, was they didn't want to have people whose positions, their jobs, may have clouded their judgment on particular education issues. So they wanted, I think, some level of independence. Now, I don't think that you trade independence for no experience. That's the issue with Mr. Lenz. I don't want his experience to be held against me. I think it's an attribute for him. But I think the idea would be you don't want people that are have vested interests in policy outcomes because of their positions they hold by way of employment. That's my best guess.
And that sounds reasonable. I guess the other side of that question is, one of the things that we're continually reminded of by those who are in the public institution of education is they're professionals, that they're not lay people, that they're professionals. So how do we reconcile that demand that they be recognized as professionals with the requirement that this be a lay person?
Well, I think there's a balance. And the Senator from Buchanan actually asked this question yesterday of one of the appointees, Dr. Martin. Do you think that everybody on the board ought to be, a retired administrator or something like that? And his answer was very honest. He said no, which I don't think that's true. I agree with his answer, but I think having a balance is important. I think having some experience is a good thing. But look, I was very cognizant of not this body and me not wanting a rubber stamp for a particular organization on this board. That is not what this board needs right now. This board needs people who, quite frankly, kind of know the ropes a little bit, but are willing to ask a lot of questions. And again, getting back to Mr. Ponder, his experience did not demonstrate the ability to do that. And so then we want him to go on the board of curators and get the same thing, whatever. But my point is, I think all of our eyes have been opened up a little bit about what that board's, what the issues that they're confronting, and having good qualified people on there is important. But I think this vetting process is great. I mean, I really do. Like, just as a guy that appreciates our system of government, the Senate is supposed to do this. The governor gets to appoint the people, but we, we don't have to. The person doesn't have to be the person we'd want necessarily, but has to satisfy, I think, some base level of qualifications and concerns that we may or may not have. And he has, along with the other three, satisfied any concerns I had about the direction of the board or their willingness to lead on education issues moving forward.
Well, I talked to the senator from Buchanan just briefly, and we were trying to kind of figure out what that term lay means, because that's the difficulty. It's like, okay, what does it mean to be a lay person?
Right.
In my mind, that means that you're an independent thinker, that you're not a subscriber to a particular philosophy about education, that you're not a party to some association to which you answer, but that you're an independent thinker. I think probably the most compelling thing that you said, Senator, in your presentation of Mr. Lenz, is that he is retired.
Yeah.
That he is no longer a superintendent, that he is no longer a member of somebody who would have an agenda other than successfully educating our children. And so I think the senator from Buchanan is absolutely right. It's up to us to decide what that lay means.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. And right, which is why we're going through this process. And I think, you know, the guy's, he's retired. I think having people who want to give back to their community and serve in some of these pretty thankless positions on some of these boards, you know, we ought to encourage that. And I think, you know, having good people want to step up and do it is important.
Yeah. And I think you and I both know the passion of the senator from the 14th.
Yeah, I didn't know if he was going to get run, you know, get through the senator from the 14th.
Well, and probably the rigor.
When I left Paldies, I said, you know, this may not even matter, that meeting I just had with this guy.
Well, I'm sure if I had been able to sit through that conversation, that I would have been probably very satisfied with the rigor with which I'm sure she examined Mr. Lenz. And so I guess to some degree that gives me comfort that because I believe she really does want somebody in there who has no allegiances except to their duty on that board.
Right. And you know what? And the other thing that's worth saying, and I don't want to, but we can't predict all the decisions that people are going to make, you know, including Mr. Lenz. But you get a sense of people, you know, and you try to size people up and how independent they are and things that they say. And so by no means do I, you know how he's going to vote on every single issue. But you know, I don't think that's our role here either, you know, so.
Right, right. I mean, that wouldn't be very independent.
Right, exactly.
If they couldn't make their mind up with new information. Thank you, Senator.
I appreciate you
taking the inquiry. Thank you, Mr.
Senator from the First, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, may I inquire of the Senator from Barton?
Senator from Barton, do you yield to an inquiry?
Senator,
He does proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, I was listening to your inquiry, the Senator from the 15th, and have been wanting to weigh in on this discussion for some time now, and I would assume that you probably don't know Mr. Lenz.
Don't know what, Senator?
You probably don't know Mr. Lenz.
Just from the hearing. I was sitting in the hearing when the committee examined him, and that was my only exposure to Mr. Lenz.
Very good. And let me say, I yesterday sat through the hearing for Mr. Martin and said it then, and I'll say it again now. As a Missourian, as a former school board member myself, as a state senator, and as a father, I was very impressed with the quality of the discussion that I saw in the Senate Gubernatorial Appointments Committee yesterday. Not pertaining to Mr. Lenz, he'd been heard previously, I wasn't able to attend that hearing, but for Mr. Martin. And I can only assume that the discussion with Mr. Lenz was similar. So I'm grateful for the thought that the committee put into this, and I just hope that we as a collective body do the same. Let me tell you about Vic Lenz. I represent 9 different school districts. 2 of those are the Afton School District, where I served on the Board of Education for 9 years and as board president for 2. And another of the districts that I represent is Lindbergh, where Mr. Lenz served on the Board of Education for a number of years. It might have been 9, it might have been 12, it might have been more. I don't know. In any event, and I share the Lindbergh District with the senator from the 15th, who Mr. Lenz has as his state senator. But regardless, Afton and Lindbergh are adjacent. And so for a number of years when I was on the Afton board, Mr. Lenz was on the Lindbergh board, and there would be issues that would come up between the two districts. And I will tell you, there were some issues that our districts were in direct conflict on. We had a joint early childhood education program that dissolved midway through my tenure on the board, and that was one of the more exciting experiences we had in Afton schools in my time on the board. But long story short, I'm familiar with the Lindbergh District as state senator for part of it. I'm familiar with the board. And Mr. Lenz and I worked in adjacent districts on the board for a long, long time. Lindbergh has been the number one district in the state for, I believe, the last 4 years on MSIP. Number one out of 525, number one. And I am proud of all the school districts that we represent. I could stand here and talk all day about all the great things that are happening in each and every one of the school districts that I have the pleasure of representing. Lindbergh's been number one in the state for 4 years. Sappington Elementary just received, it was one of 2 elementary schools in the state this year to receive the Blue Ribbon Award, which is in the Lindbergh School District. What that community has going for it, what that school district represents, is truly a crown jewel in our state. And I will tell you that Mr. Lenz had a lot to do with that. He has been a steady, he was a steady hand in that school district for a long time. In a community that is diverse in its thinking on education issues, on other issues, this is an area, probably the most active town hall that we had on the Common Core issue in my district was the one in Lindbergh. I mean, there is a diversity of viewpoint on K-12 education, but what everybody in that community is adamant about is keeping their public schools performing at the highest level of any district in the state. Mr. Lentz served as president of the Missouri School Boards Association. I had the pleasure of being a delegate to that body for a number of years. And all I will say, the president pro tem said it this way in gubernatorial appointments yesterday. This is an important position at an important time, and it is absolutely appropriate that we as a body are giving this level of scrutiny to all of these appointments right now. But if I had to pick one person out of 6 million Missourians to sit in that chair and make the right call for the right reasons, whether I would personally agree with that call or not, whether it's the call that I would make, there is not one person in this state I would trust to get it right more than I trust Vic Lentz. And if he gets confirmed and does a bad job, members of this body can hold me to account personally.
Okay, and can I respond just briefly?
Please do.
Senator, because it's good to hear from someone that close to the performance side of the education system.
Thank you.
You know, one of the things that would concern me if I was Mr. Lentz is that I think for any school that's performing at that level, the Common Core would be a major step backwards and a major usurpation of the the competency that they have demonstrated. The other thing, and I think this is really what the statute is after by capturing that term lay, the other thing is this someone who is so institutionalized that they can't think outside the model that we have now? Or can they think outside the model? And that's my concern. Even if someone was very successful inside the model, the real question here is, can they step outside the model? Can they really get out there and address things that they thought they were totally against when they were a member of a teacher's union or whether they were a superintendent or some other poor group and say, does it work? Are there places where this is working? Would it work in Missouri? Are students going to be better off or worse off if we take these steps that violate some of the locked-in mindset that the institution frequently has? I mean, if you sit through education hearings, you find that virtually any idea that isn't let's fix it inside the box is opposed. And I think that's what a lot of people are ready to look for at the board level. We need people who aren't so determined to protect the institution that they'll sacrifice the kids.
I strongly agree with that, and let me tell you why I think somebody with the depth of experience specifically in the Lindbergh district addresses that concern. And I mention there is probably no part of my state senate district where Common Core is more controversial than in Lindbergh. That is a community that has different points of view that are part of the process. They have a school board that has very distinct points of view represented at it. It is a community that has a diversity of thought, and it is a board that is accustomed to doing what, in my view, all good school boards should do, which is taking different points of view, checking your personal worldview at the door, and figuring out what's the right call to make for the kids in that district at that particular point in time. And I would respectfully submit that the success that the Lindbergh district has enjoyed academically is a product of that process. And I think that's what we need on the state education board. I think we need somebody who has seen and heard from different points of view and has gone through the process of synthesizing. Because there are a lot of different approaches we could take on K-12, whether it's the transfer issue, whether it's MCIP-5, however we move forward. There are a lot of different ways to do it, C-Trust, et cetera. I think we want a synthesizer in that role, somebody who will hear, who has seen different points of view, who has assimilated different points of view, who has come up with the best approach and move forward, whether it's what, one point of view advocated or another, probably nobody's point of view. That's good governance,
and I think
what we need.
I think a synthesizer is not a bad term, but I think an innovator is also something we want. And those aren't mutually exclusive.
Right.
In fact, the innovator is going to work better if there's also a synthesizer. But The thing that I think we have that we should be looking for, and that more and more we are looking for, are those people that are not so committed to resisting change,
right,
that they won't acknowledge the change that is successful.
Right. And I will tell you that there is no district in the state, in my view, that has been more innovative on curriculum and instruction than Lindbergh, and that's why, in my view, they are. Let me just briefly go back to the layperson point. And I don't know if this has come out in the process, and maybe I shouldn't even mention this, but Mr. Lenz is retired. He has what might be regarded as a retirement hobby job, and I don't know if he's paid for it or not. He works as an usher at Busch Stadium in the summer. That's his current occupation to speak of. So,
be a professional usher,
manager. Or a lay usher, I'm not sure. But no, he does a great job. I see him there every once in a while. But the ushers at Busch do a fantastic job. But that's what he does. And some may suggest that he is lay, he's not lay. And I respect those who are trying to make sure that we adhere to the letter of the Constitution and the law of the state. I respect that completely. I will just say that, in my view, representing, among others, the Lindbergh community, I just think that if we are not, as a body, able to say that this is somebody that we want in that chair working to move the state forward, I really would be concerned about the signal that it would send. That's all.
Can I inquire of you on your inquiry, Senator?
Absolutely. And with that, I will yield. Thank you, Mr. President.
Because the question of the lay, to me, is, you know, we could illustrate it in the industrial world. I mean, if we have a Ford factory in Kansas City or St. Louis that's the same as it was in 1940 or 1950, except that we've done the best we can to make it run better today, my guess is it's not going to be successful very long. And we need somebody who's willing to go into that factory and say, why can't we compete? And what would it take, even if it means tearing the walls down and rebuilding from the ground up? And is Mr. Lenz that type of man?
We have a district in Lindbergh that I respectfully submit has figured it out and proven that they have figured it out. And I would respectfully suggest that there are things going on in those buildings that would well serve the rest of the state, whether it's – and that's speaking just curriculum instruction within, as you put it, the existing model. I think we all acknowledge, and it's implicit in the legislation that's pending in this body, that both at the state board level and at the legislative level, this is the time for us to be looking at sort of the big picture of how we do this. And I don't think there's any question that we're going to be tackling those issues in this room, across the hall, and also at the state board level. I just can't imagine somebody better suited to do that with a more proven track record of excellence in education than Mr. Lenz. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Buchanan was first on his feet.
My microphone. Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to speak on the motion.
Proceed.
My objection to Mr. Lenz isn't about Mr. Lenz or his goodness, his how great he would be for the state of Missouri, and all of that. My objection is that he is not qualified to serve on the Board of Education because the qualification that's laid out in the law is that he be a lay member. I got the Oxford Dictionary definition of lay person, and it is a person without professional or specialized knowledge in a particular subject. Well, Mr. Lenz has professional knowledge in the subject of education. That's his profession for his whole life. He has specialized knowledge. And just the fact that he is retired does not make that go away. He still retains all of that knowledge. And I want to say that this transcends politics. This isn't about me being a Republican, because Mr. Lenz is a Republican. I mean, that's not what this is about. This is purely a decision that I'm asking each member to make as to whether or not a former educator is a lay member. So I have to ask, the law uses the words lay members. So those words have to mean something. What do they mean then? If lay member is going to have some meaning in the law, tell me what it means. What is it that you do that makes you not a lay member? I mean, if Mr. Lenz doesn't meet that, nobody does. I mean, you can't spend your whole life being an educator and being in the administration and actually being on the St. Louis Curriculum Coordinators Association president, the current president, and there's no more than that. I mean, like, who else has more education experience that makes them not a lay member? Think about it. So what I'm saying is that this guy, while he might be great, is not a lay member. So I asked Mr. Martin yesterday or the day before, whatever it was, when he came before the committee, I said, would you be comfortable if all the members of the entire state board were former, superintendents? He said, no. Well, how many is okay? What was the purpose of the law to begin with? So I pulled up, since Mr. Lenz is the president of the St. Louis Curriculum Coordinators Association, I pulled up the website of that, and right in the middle of the page are the Missouri Common Core Standards Rollout Schedule. Now, I just got to ask, do you think that Mr. Lenz already has some sense about whether or not we should initiate Common Core? I will bet that he does. He is the president of the St. Louis Curriculum Coordinators Association, and he is on the Show Me Curriculum Administrators Association. If that doesn't exclude him from being a lay member, I don't know what does. So all I'm asking is that each member decide. You know, what in your mind makes a person a lay member? And is it that we don't want people who are actively teaching? Is it that we don't want current superintendents of schools to be on there? That's not what the definition of lay member is. It's a person without professional or specialized knowledge in a particular subject. So this is an important decision that I'm asking each of you to make. This is the Senate giving its advice and consent on a governor's appointee to a very important board in our state. And he needs to do it according to the law. And we take our oath on the first day of session that we say we will uphold the Constitution and the laws of the state. Well, this is where the rubber meets the road, where you get to decide whether or not the governor is actually doing that and offer your advice and consent. So I would just ask you, if you agree with me, give a loud no. And if you think that Mr. Lenz is a lay member, give a loud yes. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Just do what you think is right. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 24th, for what purpose do you rise?
Fire the senator from the 15th.
Senator from the 15th, do you yield to an inquiry?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I for one am very grateful the senator from Buchanan is here. When we were going through the consent calendar before, it reminded me of the fact we did have a consent calendar before when the previous senator from the Cape was here. And his opinion why we shouldn't have one was because we don't pay too much attention sometimes to that calendar. Now, I'm quite certain that what came before us today, we all understand what's in there and it's appropriate. But his concern, the previous senator from the Cape's concern, was that come the end of session is that we don't have enough time to know what's on the consent calendar. So I appreciate we've changed that format, but I very much appreciate the senator from Buchanan and he being here today. He pays, you know, we all have our own skills and expertise, and his is, he's great attention to detail. So what he's laid out today is his concern about these appointments, not because of who they are, not because of their backgrounds, not because of what they may bring. It's a definition of lay. So we're sworn to uphold the law. The definition of lay is a person who does not have a specialized professional knowledge of a subject.
That's one dictionary.
That's a bunch of dictionaries.
I'm reading one right now, Senator.
Give me a different definition.
Okay. A person who is not a member of a given profession.
Well, he certainly is a member. This is certainly his profession. Retired from this given profession.
Retired. People can do what they want to do. Okay, I sponsored him. I was satisfied. My only point, Senator, honestly, is if that's really what we want, the logical consequence of that kind of construing of one version of a definition is that we do not want people with any life experience to give back to our state. Which is ridiculous.
No, Senator.
So anyway,
I'm going to quote the Senator from the 13th. The Senator from the 14th earlier said that she's looking for a diversity of thought. Diversity of thought.
Yeah.
I've served as lay members on boards of education. As a lay member, why am I there? Because I don't have professional knowledge or expertise. I bring my own personal professional knowledge or expertise to that arena to create a diversity of thought.
Right. Like Joe Driscoll, for example. He's the former director of economic development, right? He has a different perspective on things, and people talked about his dealings with workforce issues and that kind of stuff. That's good. I'm not arguing with you. I think we need to have different people come from different backgrounds. I just don't think a disqualification is somebody that's been an educator or worked, you know, on the administrative side. That's all.
The reason I'm asking this is not because of you happen to be sponsored.
No, words matter to me. I'm a lawyer.
Well, you're an attorney.
Yeah.
You're an attorney. And as an attorney, you feel comfortable standing up and saying that Mr. Lenz meets the definition of lay member.
Well, what I'm saying is if we're pulling up, the Oxford version versus, the English version, I'm just saying there are different definitions. And I can also tell you as a lawyer, when interpreting state statutes, right, as a lawyer, I may argue that the exact same sentence means one thing versus the other lawyer arguing the sentence means another. And ultimately, there's a judge that's an arbitrator of that. I'm merely making the argument that layperson cannot possibly mean we want people with no experience. And
No. It's specialized our professional experience on a subject. Senator, I serve as a lay member. I know exactly. All of us here have probably served on lay boards. Because we're not part
right.
of the
But, you know, profession. If you want to get, this is why it's fascinating, and I actually like this stuff. I do it, for a living. A person who is not a member of a given profession, right? Actually, what is a profession? You could argue the typical examples are law and medicine. Is education a profession?
Oh, please, Senator. Now, you're arguing, you're saying that he's...
No, I'm not.
Please,
stop. Talking about words,
stop.
Right? We're talking about words.
Look, you're an attorney. You're fine. You want to go ahead and make the argument you're making. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that this is not the
okay,
when you want to have a lay member on a board...
You are entitled to that.
You don't get a retired person from the exact same profession. The criteria we all were discussing earlier was, well, he's not working anymore. He's not working anymore. He's retired. I'm like, well, what's...
We were talking.
What's
about
Ozzie Smith? What profession is Ozzie Smith? What profession does he have now?
He's a citizen.
He's a retired baseball player, right?
Yeah, right.
So he'd be a lay member on some. If a sports board said, "Hey, we got to have a lay member on the board."
Well, I tell you what, if we had a committee formed in the state to review the rules of like getting rid of the DH, which I'd love to see, I think that Ozzie Smith bringing his experience would be a good thing.
But he wouldn't be a lay member.
No, absolutely, he would be a lay member. He's not playing. Now, if we wanted Albert Pujols, he's not a lay member.
Okay. I think we're doing our best to make these appointments fit, and we're ignoring what's this clear rule of law. So,
Well, listen, you can have an opinion, but let's not say it's clear. Okay? Let's be honest. If we're trying to find a way to knock somebody off, that's fine.
Look, one of the nominees themselves, Dr. Martin, was asked, well, if all the lay positions were retired administrators, would that be a good thing? One of the nominees themselves said, well, no, that wouldn't be a good thing.
And I agree with that. That's part of the advice and consent of the Senate, right? That we make a determination as to the makeup of the board. If we feel like there's too many people from St. Louis, I hear this all the time, on different boards, that person may be qualified, but we may want a better balance.
If the law says you can't have so many people from St. Louis on a board, that the law here says we're trying to build out a lay board. Ironically enough, Mr. Ponder was a lay member. He didn't have specialized...
I don't think we need more of those.
No, we do need more of those.
No, I'm
talking
specifically
to stand up as lay
Michael
members.
Ponder on the State Board of Education.
No, what we need to have people say is, okay, educators, I've heard what you have to say. I understand what you're doing, but this, in my world, that's not how, I don't see where you're coming from.
Senator, I agree with you. I want those people on there too.
But these two nominees don't fit that description.
My only argument is that if you try to use that definition to backfill an argument, it doesn't work because the technical aspect of it is that they are retired. They are not a member of a profession.
Now, we've decided that that's the technical.
Now, if we think, now this is fair too. If we think there's too many people with that wealth of experience on the board, absolutely we have the right to not confirm them. But you can't say that this definition is the disqualifier. That's all I'm saying.
I think and Senator Buchanan spoke about this nominee's expertise with respect to Common Core. Clearly, we're not going to get the diversity of thought that the Senator in 13 thinks is so important on this committee.
That's fine, and that's a determination for all of us to make. But what I'm saying is don't use the definition as the crutch. That's all I'm saying. Like, because I don't think that lay member, as it's defined in different definitions, doesn't disqualify people with experience. That's all.
In your opinion?
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you for the inquiry.
Further discussion. Senator from the 5th District. Senator from the 15th, you yield. He does.
Yes.
Proceed.
Senator, I have the Black Law Dictionary here. Do you
I'm
ever
familiar.
Reference
yes.
the law? Dictionary?
Yes. I'm from Ivy.
And the definition of layman is a person who is not a member of a profession or an expert on a particular subject. The gentleman that you have brought before the body, is he an expert on the particular subject on the table?
I think he has knowledge and experience that we can judge to be helpful for this board or not. Now, expert can mean a lot of things. I hire an expert to come into court to testify on something, right?
Just yes or no question. Do you think that the gentleman that we have on the table today discussing, is he an expert?
I don't know if he's an expert. I mean, I think he's got a lot of knowledge.
Oh, my God. Okay. So do you ever reference the Black Law
Dictionary? Senator, I'm a lawyer.
So
I
you
use
do
Black's
reference.
Law Dictionary a lot.
So you do reference it?
Yes.
So let's make this the law. Let's make
We want
let's,
to codify Black's Law Dictionary.
Let's move based on what the Black Law Dictionary states.
Well,
and according to the Black Law Dictionary.
But interestingly, Senator,
the man that you are sponsoring is not he doesn't meet the criteria.
But this is interesting because that's not the dictionary term that was referenced by the Senator from Buchanan. So now what we've heard is three different versions, the Oxford, English, Blacks version of what that means.
And
right?
They all sound the same
and
thing.
This is why we have lawyers in our society.
Well, this is a law, this is a law dictionary here. And I'm sure that you follow this, right?
Yes. Listen. If you think he's an expert, or having the experience disqualifies him from being on the State Board of Education, everybody has the right, you know, to vote no on that. The logical consequence of that is ridiculous to me.
Senator, I think we should just follow the rules, and you know the lay is defined in so many different dictionaries, and many of the different dictionaries. Basically defines layperson the same. And the man that you're bringing forward doesn't meet the requirement. And I think that it will only be right to just follow the rules and withdraw.
Well,
thank you.
Well, Mr. President.
Senator from the 15th.
I'd like to inquire the Senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield to an inquiry?
I appreciate you bringing this up. Obviously, this isn't personal. But what I do find interesting from some of the members who are out here now, you raised this issue in committee, right, about the definition of lay member. And some of those same people now that have had an awakening of sorts, depending on how you define awakening, are now opposed to it. So I appreciate you bringing it up, and you brought it up early. And if that's a reason why you don't want to move forward, I get it. That's your – I just – you know, want to be clear, I don't think that the definition of lay member or whichever version you're using, can't possibly mean that a retired person who's worked, you know, in a particular field can't serve on a board that is related to that field. I can't believe that. So, but that's my version of the truth, right?
I respect that, but this particular gentleman, being the president of the St. Louis Curriculum Coordinators Association, I just have to say that I believe that when he's sitting on the State Board of Education and up comes Common Core, he's going to be biased. He has specialized knowledge in curriculum, which means Common Core, and his own organization has Common Core all over their website.
And I think
have to tell you.
And a lot of us, no, legitimate issue. A lot of us have concerns about what Common Core means. And in fact, questions were asked of him about how he views it, right? And, you know, he answered all those questions.
Well, I mean, I don't really care how he views it. How he says he views it in just a few questions in committee. He's the president. He's not a lay member. At the end of the day here, we're going to vote. I don't know what's going to happen.
I know that. That's fine.
I'd be okay with whatever happens.
Yeah. I appreciate the rigor. I really do. I just disagree with what that
feelings.
Means. No hard
feelings.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Further discussion. Senator from the 11th District, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to inquire of the Senator from the 15th.
Senator from the 15th, you yield.
Little did I know when I woke up this morning we'd be talking about this definition.
Senator, I didn't think I was going to get in the middle of this argument, but I feel compelled to talk about it. But then I thought, you're really in those shoes because you were skeptical of this nominee in the first place. You went through your own background. You felt like he was an independent voice. But what's really going on here is the two people that were voting on separately were superintendents.
Well,
and that's, you know, we have...
Linz technically wasn't, but he was on the administrative side, absolutely.
He was a deputy, so he was an administrator.
Yeah,
is that fair to say?
Yep.
He's an administrator.
Yeah.
Which I was impressed with his background because he was an administrator and a school board member.
Right.
You know, he had to supervise and be supervised. So the other nominee that we have is a former... House member and former DED director. That's a lay member? I mean, the only objection for these two folks is that they're too qualified, that they are superintendents and they may push the superintendent thing. I don't believe that's the case with Dr. Linz. I don't think that's the case with Dr. Martin. I think they're independent voices. So we're actually having an argument right here that they're too qualified to be on this board. And that's not the discussion we should have. We have a former senator, a former member of the House on there. We have a president of this board who's been there forever. I mean, does that make them a lay member anymore after that? These two people are independent voices who do bring a lot of background and expertise to it. And so I'm not really asking you anything, but I'm just...
What's funny is we could make the argument any time a former legislator comes before us for an appointment.
Right.
So there's two versions of that. One is you don't know what you're talking about. You're never an expert on the topics you were legislating for 6 million people.
Right.
Right. It's sort of a ridiculous thing to me, but I get.
Well, I think that there are no bigger voices in the Senate than yourself, the senator from the 14th, and me, who says that we need change over there at the education.
I don't want a rubber stamp over there.
So I guess I'm adding another voice of, as I vote for these two nominees, that we want change, that we want independent voices with some expertise there, and that's what's important for our kids. And we want them to follow the laws we ask them. We want them to do what's right. And I know you were kind of pulled in this because the man lives in your district, but thank you for your discernment, and I just want to add another voice. I'd be joining the other folks who may be against him if I felt like it was another person to go along with the crowd over there, but we've had way too much of that, and this is someone that has convinced me that will be a very independent voice.
Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from Franklin, for what reason do you stand?
Thank you for calling on me, Mr. President. May I inquire of the Senator from the 15th?
Senator from the 15th, would you yield to an inquiry for the very patient senator from Franklin?
Yeah.
He does. Proceed.
Okay, you'll be glad to hear this. This is not lay, not lay. This has nothing to do with lay, okay? And I was listening with a really just a small degree of interest because I'm just not that interested in trying to figure out the definition of a word in this chamber. But lo and behold, the word Common Core was mentioned. And when that word is mentioned, it makes my antennas go up.
Sure.
So let me just ask you, I won't belabor it. During your discussions with this particular nominee, did Common Core come up? And then question number two, according to what you were able to learn or whatever, would you say that this person is for or against the implementation of Common Core?
It came up in my meeting with him individually, and then it came up again in the committee hearing, which I fully expected it to. He has expressed a willingness. I think he's concerned by a lot of things. And it's weird for me to try to put words in people's mouths, but what he expressed to me was that he had concerns about the implementation, about the information gathering, particularly on students, that he didn't want to see that kind of stuff happen. And that was the nature of our discussion. He was asked similar questions, I think, you know, by senators on the committee, I think at least one. And, you know, he expressed reservations about the direction we were headed. Also, and this was important for me to hear from him also, was the way in which DESE has moved forward with this process, which has been under the cloak of darkness. He has done, and again, this is another thing it's good to have experience for. He's had experience in developing a curriculum for Lindbergh. And he knows what collaboration means. He knows that you got to involve the public. You got to have buy-in from a lot of people. And he expressed to me that he thought that the way it came about has created a lot of angst and some of those issues that he would like to deal with if they play themselves out. So, again, you can't ever know exactly how someone's going to vote on every single issue.
Oh, don't worry. I'm going to the senator from the 14th next.
Sorry. But, yeah, that was the nature of his answers to those questions.
Okay. So at least he has concern about it.
Yeah.
And is certainly not very happy with the way it's been moved forward.
That's fair.
Because I think, you know, maybe the day is going to come when the senator from the 24th and I are going to have to stand up and say, hey, you know what? Now that we've learned more about it, Common Core is the greatest thing that ever happened in Missouri. But nobody's ever going to come to that conclusion if it's not done in the light of day.
Right.
And I think we all agree that DESE has done this under a cloak of darkness. And okay, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. President,
Senator
may I now inquire of the senator from the 14th?
Senator from the 14th, you yield to an inquiry?
Yes.
She does. Proceed.
Just very quickly, again, not lay, whatever. Same question. I don't know if you heard exactly what I was at. Number one, did Common Core come up? I'm figuring that if you found out his blood type, you also asked him about Common Core. And what would be your assessment of his stand on Common Core?
What he said in committee is that he wasn't even there for the vote of Common Core. I actually, you know, you guys do know, I have the minutes of every single school board or state board meeting that he sat on. I have the minutes. So I was that detailed. And so he said in committee he wasn't even there. When I was asking him in the line of questioning about being able to communicate with the legislature, because right now we have a commissioner that doesn't want to have a relationship with the legislature and actually thinks that she can supersede any of the decisions that we are making here in this body or on the other side. And that was one of my concerns. Are you willing to speak up when you see that there is something that is not being implemented or talked about with all of the different groups of people who need to be engaged? And he said, I believe that people from all areas should be engaged in any subject matter. And regardless of where you or I stand, and I will tell you, I have superintendents who don't like Common Core right now because of the expense. We were sold a bad deal, all of us, when we were told that Common Core implementation would only cost $12 million. Now all of a sudden in the state budget, we have a commissioner coming back to us saying it's going to cost $30 million. So he satisfied my interest when he said that all of us in the legislature and other places should be involved in the discussion before there's ever an implementation of anything. As I was talking about in committee yesterday about the language in No Child Left Behind that was gotten rid of because of the waiver for Common Core, I mean, some of the language that was in No Child Left Behind was actually really good, as I stated, and we didn't know anything about the waiver. Yet, our commissioner decided to get a waiver to implement Common Core, which meant that a portion of No Child Left Behind would not be subject to anything that we do here in the state of Missouri. So he said it in committee. In my interviewing with him, he said that all groups who are interested in an issue, and that he would himself communicate with people to get our different opinions. And I think he even said in committee that you only arrive at better decisions when everyone is involved.
Okay. So you'll be willing to help, I think you'll probably lead the charge to hold him accountable to that,
yeah,
right?
I spent a number, just a great amount of time with him, and I started off the conversation telling him that I was going to kill his appointment.
Right.
I was honest with him.
So I think it was yesterday, Senator, you and I serve on a different committee together, and I was just, in my mind, I was comparing the length of your answer to the length of a more senior senator, someone who's older than you, and an attorney, and it dawned on me that his answer was very short, and your answer was very long, and then I remembered in committee yesterday that you had mentioned, and I hope you don't mind my sharing this, that there was a point in time where you were actually not able to speak. So I don't want a long answer on this.
Yes.
I just want you to tell me, how old were you when you got to where you could actually speak?
Well,
and speak what? Not a long answer. Just this is just like what age?
At a really good point was eighth grade.
Eighth grade. So that would be approximately 12, 13?
A few years ago.
Okay. So my last question to you, short answer. Sometimes do you think you try to make up for what you didn't get to say those 13 years, and now you're trying to catch up with that? Yes or no?
Perhaps.
All right, thank you.
Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator. Further discussion, Senator from the 9th. I'm sorry, I did not see
Thank
you rise.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I may, I'd like to inquire from the inquire of the senator from Barton, please.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
I would like to inquire of the senator from Barton.
Thank you, Senator from Barton. Do you yield?
Yes, sir.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I think we had a very, of course, interesting conversation in the back of the room, and I think
we probably should have been listening.
But I think you. Clearly, I think this issue is perplexing for some of us right now, because I actually happen to, for the most part, probably agree with the senator from Buchanan, although I do acknowledge that clearly there's another definition in the English dictionary that says a member of the profession, and then I guess we could debate member probably all day long. If you're retired, are you still a member, or are you not a member because now you're retired and you're just, you know, a person with professional experience? But I think it poses a very interesting question. And, you know, for some of us from Kansas City, of course, it makes it a very difficult question even for us right now because, I think part of our issue is right now, you know, we have issues going on at home, and we have not had a representative on DESE's board for at least a year. And it is something that has been very important to us for quite some time now. So aside from the fact that we're challenged with that, I think clearly the senator from Buchanan has brought up a very interesting question and something that probably needs to be addressed at some point, this whole definition of layperson. And I think you said, as well as the senator from Clay earlier, that, you know, my question happened to be, do we really need lay people, or do we at this time, because of the challenges we're having, really want people with some experience to be able to help make some of those
Sure.
decisions?
Sure.
And I think you said, as well as the senator from Clay, that no, we can have lay people, and they are there to rely on staff or other people with expertise.
Right.
But then I also said, well, if that in fact is the case, then we should not necessarily be upset with some of the DESE board members right now for relying on the expertise of the current commissioner.
Yeah. And that's right. And I think that really is
part of the answer to this, because we, and let's just lay aside the discussion that must have gone on when this language was written, because it is in the language, and I'm sure there was a discussion. And I think what you're weighing is the value of having of this time you save by having preconceived notions, and the price that you pay for having preconceived notions. And I'm guessing that discussion was held, that before lay was put in there, that the very questions that you and I were talking about were,
right,
were discussed. Okay, do we want to bring in those people that already have expertise in this area? And are we going to eliminate them if we put in the word lay? And I think that was probably the nature of that discussion, is, okay, are we, because frankly, the senator from Buchanan has convinced me that that's what is in the law and that's what's intended in the law. And if we bring in that term of lay, and that could be changed, you know, we could change that with a statutory, you know, by submitting a bill and passing that. But if that's in there, then I think that's the discussion that was likely held, is what's more valuable, bringing in preconceived notions or not bringing in preconceived notions? And I think the discussion came down to, it's, we would rather have people who don't come in with preconceived notions, because we want them to be free thinkers. We want them to go after success more than they go after a particular preconceived idea of what brings success.
Right, but if those then lay people that don't have the experience are only left to rely on those folks with experience, the staff people and the folks in the department, I mean, the interesting thing is,
well,
part of the discussion
only
that we're having, it, for some members, happens,
right,
to be the support among some members for things that they think are happening in the administration that they don't necessarily agree with. So if those folks are then left to rely on the expertise and the judgment of those there, then I could see even further how this whole layperson, non-layperson, person with experience, non-experience, still poses a grave issue in this whole education situation.
Well, and
I don't deny that
that's an appropriate discussion. I'm just saying I think they had that discussion, and I think they decided on purpose to put the word lay in there. They made their judgment of where they would get the most value. I think if we had time to go back and do the research, I think we would find that there are a lot of things that have happened, you know, quantum leap type things that have happened in history, because somebody from outside a model created a new model, a model that was different. Whether you're talking about in the computer industry, the technology industry, the telephone, you know, the communications industry, there are a lot of places where those people who were inside didn't come up with the new ideas. It was people on the outside that came up with the new ideas that then pushed out the old ideas because the new ones were so successful. I don't know that will always happen. I don't know
right.
that every choice is going to be right when you do bring in that model, but that is the model that we have in the statute, is one that says bring somebody in who doesn't have the preconceived notions, who doesn't think they know everything about education, and who is willing to listen and ask questions. And I think the level of people, whether it's Mr. Lenz's level of, and I'm not discussing his nomination
right.
now, just him as a person,
right.
his thinking, his, you know, the history that he's had in life, the things that he knows, or whether it's somebody from, you know, a board of directors in General Motors or a board of directors in Sprint or somewhere else, they bring to the table the things that the models that they have learned worked in their industry, and all of a sudden you've got a whole new picture. To a whole new wealth of opportunities to consider, a whole new wealth of ideas that didn't come from inside the expertise of the profession. And I confess, I have failed to do my duty in terms of fully studying how these appointments should be made and so on.
Right.
And I appreciate the senator from Buchanan forcing me to do that in this issue. But I think he's right. I think that the purpose here is to say we need people without preconceived notions rather than those with preconceived
notions.
Well,
and I think for the most part, I think that's probably what two of the definitions that we've talked about indicate. But I still have to say that the definition from the English dictionary that the senator from the 15th read earlier still leaves the door open to whether we determine whether we believe that person's a member or not member.
You have to realize he's an attorney,
Senator. right. But still, I think, you know what, and this really even goes back to a senator's right to object under advice and
it's still that's right it's still within our power
and I
that's right.
gravely respect that in this body, and then of course, you know, so the decision is pretty difficult, because I get I completely get the issue and the question here this afternoon, and I think it's clearly something that we'll have to further define in the statute to avoid this later.
Thank you for inquiring of me.
Further discussion. Senator from Buchanan, for what purpose do you rise?
To request a standing division.
If you can get the appropriate number of senators standing with you, standing division shall be had. Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator from the 15th, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have to tell you, I'm actually glad we're having this discussion. Instead of debating things like if the high five ought to be the official greeting. I think, though, that one thing that is important to note, I think, this decision here today, right now, that has been raised by the Senator from Buchanan, will have a long-term impact on who's on these boards. And I would argue that may, in fact, have a chilling effect of people throughout this state who want to serve their state, want to serve their communities, who will be barred because they have experience, because they know something about the subject matter, because they have an opinion based on life experience. I can't believe that this body would want to go down that road. These boards and commissions are hard enough already to fill. To find qualified people is a challenge. And I don't want to eliminate, you know, an entire category of people who have some experience. I don't think we want people who can be led around by the nose, by bureaucrats. I think that's kind of the reason we're in the predicament we're in now. So having people, the ability to ask questions. I have to tell you, when this foundation formula thing came up, I would have loved to have somebody like Vic Linz on there, who's been on a school board, who knows what the impact that means to families that he serves, you know, when he was on that school board. I think we need more people like that, not less. And the other thing I'll close with, I said earlier that these three spots may be the three most important nominees that we'll see, or spots that we'll fill this session, because I think these spots will help determine the direction of our education system for generations. And more than that, a lot of those decisions are going to be made in the next 60 days. Okay? 60 days from now, the State Board is going to be making decisions on things that we can do different than what we've been doing for 100 plus years. And to have qualified people on that board right now to help make those decisions, I think we ought to support them. And with that, Mr. President, I close.
Senator from the 15th renews his motion. A standing division has been requested. All senators, take your seats. All those in favor of the motion shall prevail, please stand. Please sit down. All those opposed to the motion, please rise. By your vote of 24 aye and 7 no, the motion passes. Senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President, I have a report.
Send your report forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments, to which was referred the following appointment: John A. Martin, Democrat, for a term ending July 1st, 2014, as a member of the State Board of Education, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate do give its advice and consent to said appointment.
Senator from the 7th.
Mr. President, I move that the committee report be adopted and that the Senate do give its advice and consent to the appointment of Dr. John Martin.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of the 7th. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Buchanan was first on his feet. For what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. This is exactly the same issue as it was with Mr. Linz. So I'm not going to go into great detail except to point out a few things about Mr. Martin and make a comment.
Senator,
Mr. Martin is a...
Senator, are you requesting to speak on the motion?
To speak on the motion.
Proceed.
Okay. Mr. Martin is a commissioner for Missouri at the Education Commission of the States. Right now, he is. He is a member and subcommittee co-chair of the Governor's Business Education Roundtable. He is a board member of the Grandview School District Foundation. He is a member and former president of the Greater Kansas City School Administrators Association. He is a board member of the Missouri Center for Safe Schools. He is a former superintendent of the Kansas City School District, former superintendent of the Grandview School District, and former deputy superintendent of the St. Louis School District. If this guy is a lay member, then anybody is a lay member. I think the message that we're sending the governor today is go ahead and send us as many superintendents and educators to be on the State Board of Education as you want. We're going to confirm them all. That's what I think the message is. I'm not going to ask for any kind of a standing division or roll call. I'm just going to vote no. Thank you.